Hey, everybody, and welcome to Trans Sister Radio, a Story Thus Far podcast about everything trans. I'm your trans sister, Erin.
And I'm your trans sister, Athena.
And today, we are going to be talking about our experiences being out and about kind of in society and how we have had certain situations happen versus how we respond, how it kind of made us feel. And, it's going to be our almost day-to-day life and some notable moments that we've seen so far about in it, so.
Yeah, definitely. This should be an interesting topic. And I'm super excited because I got a new mic set up and it's freaking nice. I can bump the table and it doesn't sound like the apocalypse just hit my microphone. It's phenomenal.
I can hit the springs and it sounds like a banjo.
I'm not going to do that, but we could play some sweet country tunes, you know, on our
springs.
I have
my guitar right here.
So you get the guitar and I got the banjo and we'll be great.
All right. So did you want to start things off today with something that you've had, or would you like me to start off? Because I've got a little bit of a weird sandwich thing that's going to be going on.
Let's do this. Let's both start with a potentially, like, almost either a bad situation or one that we were able to, like, avoid. One that, like, got started bad, I would say.
Okay. I've got one for... This one is so bad to a great degree that I've actually not gone back to the entire location that this store has happened at.
Holy crap.
It wasn't, like, outright hostile, but anyway. So, around the time of one of my breaks, I don't remember if it was, like, a spring break that we had or some winter break or something, I went out and wanted to do some shopping for some more clothing. My closet isn't exactly very full of the clothing that I like to wear, and it's getting really annoying having to essentially recycle old shirts that were more male-oriented, I suppose. They don't fit my style, so I went out to some clothing stores in the area at my local mall. Well, some issues happened with the mall is my town's not small, but I run into people that I know a whole lot, period. But the mall is going to be a place where I run into the people I really don't want to see quite often. An almost benefit of not being out yet is that I can go as Erin and nobody's going to recognize me. But in this particular venture, it's not the first time I've been out like this in this location, but it is certainly the last. I went out to the very first store that I saw, and it was like a Victoria's Secret offshoot, like pink or something like that. They had a ton of cute little sweats, they had different types of bras, little shorts that I was looking at, socks and stuff, and it was busy. I won't say it's completely terribly busy, but I go in, everything's fine, there's the usual dudes sitting outside by the door, arms crossed, uncomfortably staring at this, like, display of bras and panties and stuff, But I just move on past them, start taking a look around. They have some cute shirts and some cute hoodies that I was really wanting to pick at. But at about that time that I was flipping through some of the yoga pants and sweats and stuff, one of the staff members did the usual staff member thing, came up and goes, Oh, can I help you with anything? I was like, no, I'm fine. And just kind of wandered off. And then about 30 seconds later... another staff member came up and asked me the exact same thing. I was like, no, I'm good. And then I started feeling like I was being singled out because this, like I said, the store is busy. There are a lot of people coming and going into the store. It felt a little strange that within less than a minute, somebody two times came up to me, but it's fine. There were like two or three staff members there. It happens. So I go on, and I hit the back of the store, and the very first person who came up to me again came up to me, and like 2 minutes later was going, are you sure? Are you sure there's nothing I can help you with here? I was like, I'm sure. I'm just looking at shirts. And it's like, okay. And then they wandered off. And then again, the exact same second person came up probably a minute later. And so it was just a series of these employees just constantly coming up to me going, can I help you? Are you sure I can't help you? Is there anything I can help you? And it was just, I felt like every eye in the store was on me. And I mean, that's nerve-wracking, period, but I'm not out yet. I was feeling really, like, targeted. And so, instead of going in there and buying some stuff that I actually did kind of want, I just had to get out. I had to maneuver my way out of the store, past everybody, and I just stopped. I went to a little Starbucks that was in there and just took a few seconds to kind of breathe. It was awful. I've never even gone back to the mall since, either way, as presenting one way or the other. It was just so bad. I didn't finish my journey there. I went up to the other stores, but even in another store, I had the exact same situation of within 30 seconds, somebody asked me to do something, and I was like, nope, I'm done. And I walked out of that one, too. And I don't think they were being rude or anything. And I don't think they were doing whatever the pink people were doing, but I was just like, I'm not doing this again. I'm going to another store where nobody's going to bug me, and then I'm going home. And, like, I was there probably less than an hour. I did end up walking out with some nice things. I got a nice pair of jeans, and I think I got a nice shirt that I... Actually, now that I think about it, I may have left that somewhere. Oops. Uh-oh. Yep. But it was somewhat productive. I didn't want to just, like, leave totally because, you know, I didn't want somebody else being an asshole, really, to ruin the entire experience, but... I mean, it's been months, and I still think about this, and I still have not gone back, and I may not. I don't know if I will. And if I do, I'm certainly not going back to that store. It just felt like, to me, they were really aware that I was trans and were not okay with it and were trying to get me out of the store and were just doing what they could to annoy me as much as possible until I left. And that's really what it felt like. And I don't know what to do in those situations because... Maybe they were trying to be inclusive, and they were just trying to make sure that they were okay and checking on me and all that, but it really came across, like, hostile, just because of the frequency of it, and the amount of other people that were there that were not getting the same treatment I was, kind of thing. So,
yeah,
and I noticed.
It definitely, like, because I remember when you told me that story, I was like, okay, that does seem... weird, but it also does kind of seem like a mall thing, but at the same time a little odd. Mm-hmm. Real talk moment that you'll have to edit out is thing I just thought of. After our stories that we share, we should do like the strategy we used in that case. So like I'm gonna comment on it. Like we should comment on each other's strategies, I think. Mm-hmm. Because in this case, the strategy you used obviously was getting out.
Yep.
So, like, but anyway, so this is a thing you'll have to cut out.
I should mention that I tried using my other coping mechanisms while in the store, but the constant barrage of it just kept pulling me out.
Okay. Let's mention that too. Well, let's come back in with, because mm-hmm. I was talking beforehand, so now I'm talking again. Mm-hmm. So we'll come back in with in 3, 2, 1... one of the things I think that, like, is important there, aside from just, like, that being a weird scenario, is that that is one of the really good strategies that I think you can use when you're in society and presenting is just getting out of a situation. If there's something that feels weird, if you're worried, if somebody's coming up and bothering you or giving you weird looks, it's not a bad thing to walk out and, you know, go somewhere that is maybe a little safer or a little less crowded, or go somewhere where someone you know is. Getting out of a situation is probably the best way to handle it if you're worried about it and don't know anything to do.
Right.
Also, that's true in general, but it's also true when you're presenting and concerned that maybe someone's clocked you, or that maybe things are going to go south soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what was just really bugging me is, like, we talked about this in previous episodes. I have coping mechanisms that work really, really well. And the thing is, like, they require me to be kind of isolated a little bit. I need to step back. So in one of the times, like the very last time that I was like, I can't do this, I'm out, I was in the back behind a little display, just kind of taking a few breaths and reading labels and just distracting myself as much as possible to try to keep myself calm, but they were just constantly over and over really getting into my space, and it was like, I can't do this, I'm out. and that was one of the times where I was like really scared and why I think it hit me so hard, so lasting, is that my coping skills failed in that regard, where they have, in the past, never done that. And so the next one I have to do is just get out and try to continue to distract myself, which somewhat, I guess, worked, but not entirely.
Yeah, and I do think that is one of the things that, in general, I think, you know, listeners and just both of us should be prepared for, is when there are other people involved, dealing with, you know, dysphoria popping up gets way harder. It's a lot easier to handle dysphoria when you're alone and can change what's going on, like, forcibly, through a coping mechanism or doing something different. But when there are people that are causing the problem, it's a lot harder to deal with without, you know, confrontation or something worse.
Yeah. So that was not a great thing.
Yeah.
Do you have any similar stories for that, or?
Yeah. So I have, I think, the most down story I've had presenting. Because again, I waited to start presenting. I never did part time or anything. So since I waited to start presenting, HRT had done a lot, and I had a pretty straightforward time going into HRT, but there was a really sketchy moment, which was actually literally the first time I'd ever gone out presenting. First time ever wearing female clothes around other people with makeup and all that stuff. And to be fair, I am not very good at makeup, and I didn't used to be very good at makeup. I don't wear a lot of makeup these days. I used to wear quite a bit when I first started presenting because I was paranoid that I, you know, looked super masculine. And then as I presented full-time more and started to see the more feminine features of my face, I was a little, you know, less concerned about that. So I stopped wearing makeup. But first time ever going out, got a ton of makeup on. And I went out, so my brother was back in town, and he was in town for a weekend. I think it was a weekend to either celebrate my birthday or something around that time. It was before my birthday. I don't remember exactly when it was, because I went full-time the week of my birthday, so maybe he was in town for spring break. Either way, my brother was in town, and so my brother's sister and I all went out to go get Chipotle. Now, we were, I still live with my parents and my sister lives with my parents because my sister is recently divorced and kind of getting back on her feet. And so we were going out to get Chipotle for basically like everyone in the household except my dad, who doesn't like Chipotle. So we're getting ready to leave. Or sorry, this is after we're getting ready to leave. I don't know why I said that. But I was, you know, full femme. All that stuff, again, first time in public. So we get to Chipotle, and we're walking up to the counter, and my, like, it's the immediate nightmare scenario for the first time you're presenting in public. There was someone, so I go to Chipotle quite a bit, like Chipotle and Qdoba, which is basically Chipotle, but with better queso.
you and Qdoba, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I love Qdoba.
She may or may not be addicted to Qdoba Offset.
Hey,
don't... Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
Hey, I mean... Okay, all right. Yeah, you're right. Like, I will admit there was a promotion running in Qdoba at the start of the year where they were giving 2018 points for every entree purchase. Because they do, like Qdoba does a rewards program, which is why I'm so obsessed with it. And the rewards program is literally, like... you get free entrees or drinks or cookies or stuff like that, just for like buying food. And 2018 points is a third of an entree.
Wow.
Or two thirds of an entree.
Wow.
So yeah, it's like every two entrees you get one free, and then every four entrees you get two free.
Was this happening during the promo?
Yeah, this was at the start of the... They did this right at the start of the
year. No, I was saying, like, was your...
No. This story didn't, because I went to Chipotle, not Cuba.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this was the start of 2018, hence the 2018 points. And I literally went to Qdoba every single day that week, and I was meeting with a friend for lunch, and I took them to Qdoba, because I was like, I get double points.
Oh, my gosh.
answer, yes, I have a problem. But anyway, so we're going to Chipotle. And so Nightmare, like I said, I go to this Chipotle a lot. And behind the counter is not only a person who is there almost every time I go to this Chipotle, it's also someone I knew in high school.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, and not only did he know me in high school, because at this point, like, I'm presenting Feminoff, and it's late enough in the evening that Chipotle is quite dark. So, like, theoretically, if I were by myself, I could have gotten away with it. But he knew my brother. Yep. He was in the same high school class as my brother.
Oh, yeah.
And me, him, and my brother were all in marching band and regular, like, just band
you
together.
You would be a band kid.
So we all knew each other quite well during high school. So my brother walks up first to order, and the guy is like, oh, hey, Ben, I haven't seen you in a long time. How's it going? And, you know, Ben's making small talk. That's my brother's name. He's making small talk and ordering food and all that stuff. And then gets to me. So I get up there. And the guy behind the counter looks at me, and like immediately his face is like confused because he recognizes me and he recognizes my brother. And I am like full panic mode at this point.
Of course.
He starts to say like, what can I get for you? And then about to say my dead name. But like my brother is like the smoothest man alive. Apparently, because he literally, like, he sees what's going on and immediately says, oh, that's my sister Athena. I don't think you've met her before. And I was like, oh my God,
wow.
Ben, you just saved me.
Wow.
So, yeah, like, it ended up going well.
Can I just have your brother? Can he be my brother?
My brother's amazing. he's the reason why I think coming out to my parents came as well. As it did, because he's gay and he came out way before I did. So my parents were like hardcore religious conservatives, and then my brother came out and they were like, well, we have a gay son. We have to deal with the fact that we now have to like accept a gay person. And so that mellowed them out a lot. And then when I came out, they were like, they were still upset because they never had a trans kid, but they acclimated
way
faster.
But now they're transparent.
Hey yo, badoomts. That's also a sitcom that I haven't watched that I really should watch that my brother keeps telling me to watch. There's a sitcom. It might not be a sitcom, but it's a TV show that focuses on the parents of a transgender child.
My therapist told me about that, and I don't know the name of the show.
It's called Transparent.
Nope, the name escapes me. I'll never never remember. Curse
oh, I get
this
what
brain.
Anyway. But yeah, so that was mine. It was almost bad. I got very lucky. My brother also, like the next day, we went out with my brother and sister and went shopping for clothes, and they were great. So I got the long and the short of it, and a thing that I cannot recommend enough. First few times going out presenting, or honestly, like, if you feel uncomfortable presenting, bring someone with you who is your ally and supports you. Yep. Especially someone who's good with your name and pronouns.
Absolutely. I feel like that was one of the reasons that my experience was so bad, is that my wife was going to get her hair done. And so I got a little bored. And the store that I went to was just literally right there. So I was like, hey, I'm going to go check this out really quick and maybe check out another store or two. And she was like, okay, that's fine. And so I went out and I left my support network behind, and then that happened, and it was not so great. I don't know how it would be different if she were there or not, but yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. But just having someone with you in general, especially because the person with you, if they're a good, you know, ally and support network, those people are going to be like if someone tries to start shit or is like treating you weirdly, those people are going to call them out on it. Because they're going to treat you like normal. Like, that's, I think that's one of the things. And I don't think I have a story that's going to represent this well. But I think playing it cool and acting like everything's totally normal will disarm a lot of situations. Because depending on, you know, where you are in your transition, a lot of, like, the weird looks you're going to get are going to be people who aren't sure. And if you aren't confident in who you are or presenting, then, you know, that lack of confidence is going to be another sign that's going to make them confused. And one of the things about presenting is you don't need to tick every box of whatever gender you're in. You just need to tick most of the boxes.
Right.
You know, like for example, I think the biggest, most obvious ones are for like trans guys, a beard, or facial hair in general, or just like a stockier build, or actually a male haircut, like male facial hair and slash male haircuts in general are such like an obvious indicator that this is a male, that that's one of like the biggest boxes you can tick. And for women, unfortunately, it's boobs.
Yep.
But like boobs and a slightly feminine haircut go a long way in passing, regardless of what anything else looks like.
I cannot recommend Amazon breast forms enough. They're cheap.
Yeah, which we did talk about, I think, in dealing with dysphoria. yeah, but, well, whatever episode it was. Either way, so, like, just the goal is to tick a certain number of boxes. And if someone is questioning, you know, like, who you are and what you're presenting, a lack of confidence can be another box. Because, you know, most people aren't... I think cis people have the advantage of not being nervous just about being themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a box that is, like, automatically ticked for every cis person ever. And so being confident helps a lot. And having someone there with you who supports you, calls you the right name and pronouns, and is just in general, you know, a part of your support network is a great way to boost confidence.
Yep. Absolutely. And that actually leads perfectly into my really good story, is because my mom wanted to be really supportive in however she could. And so for her, she really liked to go antiquing. I'm not such a big fan of it, but, you know, it's fun sometimes. And there's this place that's like maybe a mile or two outside of my town that is run by a bunch of very, very old, conservative old ladies. Essentially, this is like their own collection that has been accumulating as they've built their business. So they have this surprisingly large warehouse full of some really rare stuff, some not so rare stuff. I found a Call of Duty game for the PS2 there. but they also have like foot pump organs that work. And so I'll go out there and try them. But I did the exact same dress as before in the previous story. I did a lot of stuff, but now I had two allies there with me. I had my mom and I had my wife. And I felt a lot more secure. These hallways, these aisles in this place are really packed. Like, one person walking distance kind of packed usually. So there were other people there, and I did actually get a look or two. But I felt a lot more confident in myself and was able to kind of fake it a little bit. I even felt good about my voice, which I don't feel good about it today, but I felt good about it then. And as we came in, the very first thing they said was, "Is there anything I can help you ladies with?" And that was just their usual greeting, like, "We're just gonna go and look." I was like, "Okay." And then we left, and they did the same thing. "Have you ladies seen our other sales over here?" And it was just, I think, just having that that aura of confidence about you as you do whatever you need, even if it's not genuine, is gonna help so, so much with not being clocked kind of thing. For me, I'm getting clocked almost 90% of the time purely by my voice. Because it is so low-pitched, it's really hard for me to control, even with daily practice, but then I have days like today where it's like, it feels like I have something stuck in the very bottom of my throat and it won't go away. But I can even make this work a little bit, just purely saying exactly, knowing what I want, exactly where I'm going to go, and checking things out that way. So that was actually a really good experience. We were out there for about 2 hours in this store with a lot of people. Even for an antique shop, there are probably about 20 or 30 people roaming these halls kind of around. And the shop owners treated us exactly the same. I genuinely, like, you know that there's people who are being nice because they can tell you're trans. Have you felt that before?
I don't know if I have, actually. And part of that might be because I have the ability to read emotions that, like, a freight train does. So I don't get a lot of emotions sometimes. There's a lot of stuff I will miss. Maybe that has happened. But I also tend to be, sometimes I'm a little overconfident. That's why I'm a GM. Because I'm pretty confident in my ability to tell great stories, whether that's valid or not. I just tend to overassume. If someone's being nice to me, I'm like, oh, they're just really nice. So,
I guess I'm a lot more panicky.
I think that's my overconfidence is definitely like one of my character flaws, because I will be like, I am doing the right thing and I am always right. And then it'll be like, no, I'm stupid. Oh my God, why did I do that?
I analyze like, the hell almost out of every situation, everything. And it's not like I'm doing it on purpose. I just do it. But there's times where I can tell, like, she knows I'm trans, but she's being nice. That happened to me with the restaurant, and it doesn't make the situation worse. They're still being nice, and it's like, okay, so they know, but they're cool. But in this situation, the way I read it was genuinely, like, this 70, 80-year-old woman who is hobbling around genuinely cannot tell I'm trans, and that was a really big booster, because I don't think I've ever felt that good or that confident about how I'm presenting before, because I don't have any problems being labeled as trans, being seen as that at all, but I think going stealth is really more about who I am. I don't have a problem one way or the other, but it's nice to not have to worry about stuff like that, like being called out. And so to know that to these old bee in a bonnet stuffy ladies that they genuinely can't tell me from my wife or my mother, it really felt confidence boosting, kind of. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I really had a good time that day. The only thing that was bad was my legs wore out. I'm not used to HRT giving me this kind of atrophy, so.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, but still, like, that's a really good experience.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, your going stealth is a great segue into my good story.
Yeah.
Unless you had anything else to say about your good story, because that was a really good story.
Tell us what is your
stealth? Okay, stealth so I am kind of the opposite. I don't like being stealth, and I think part of the reason for that is like there's a few reasons. I think one of the big ones is that I am very much of the opinion that I want to educate people, and it's hard to educate people on what being trans is like than when, you know, you're stealth, because from my understanding of being stealth, I've never done it, I've never tried it. You do kind of have to basically pretend you were never trans, and that just never comes up. And, you know, being able to answer people's questions and, like, show, like, we're just normal people, just we're put in the wrong bodies, but otherwise normal people. I think that's a big thing that I love to do. I've seen it change. I've seen, like, for example, my parents having to interact with a trans person on a day-to-day basis has changed their view of trans people forever. And I am firmly in the camp that showing people we're normal and just people who want to be happy is the best way to get people to stop being complete total assholes.
Yep.
So now granted, I'm not saying I'm not saying that people who want to be stealth are wrong. No, like you do you. And B, I am not saying do this in every scenario. If you walk into a conservative caucus where they're all carrying guns, I would not do this. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
So you do definitely have to know your surroundings before you just like show everyone that you're trans,
right? Yeah.
Or whatever. But in this particular instance, I knew the setting was safe. So for the setup to this story is, If you haven't listened to previous episodes, and this is the first one, well, surprise, I am a furry. and normally I wouldn't bring that up because this is a trans podcast, not a furry podcast. But the reason I bring it up here is this story happens at a FurCon. So I was at Indiana, or I think they just call it Indie FurCon now. But it's the furry convention for like Indiana. And I was there. And this was the Indie FurCon 2017. So it's August of 2017. At this point, I've been full time for nearly 6 months. And the thing about the furry fandom, which is one of the reasons why I am a furry and love being a furry, is the furry fandom is easily the most open and accepting place you can ever go. The furry fandom is made up of a majority of gay males. And so there's also a lot of, it's very LGBT friendly. The first few trans people I ever met were furries. The first few trans people I ever had a conversation with were furries. And being a furry is actually, like, I attribute it to being one of the reasons that I eventually figured out I was transgender, because, you know, getting into the furry community, which is so open about, you know, sexual orientation and gender identity and attraction and sex, and is open about all of this stuff and willing to talk about it in an open environment, in a non-judgmental environment, that, you know, spending years in that environment softened me from being this conservative asshole that I used to be. And so now, like, you know, full circle, I've transitioned and I'm here at a FurCon. And I've gone to a lot of FurCons. There was a year where I think I went to 6 in a single year because I love FurCons. I haven't been able to go this year because I'm saving up for surgery. And then after surgery, I'll be recovering from surgery. So, yeah. But, you know, eventually I'll start going back. But I've been to a lot, and I've made a lot of friends in the fur community. And there's one in particular. His fur name is Laser. I've never known his real name. And he's never known my real name. He's always known me as, previously, Zane. That was my old fur name. And now, Xena, because I flipped the E and the A. Get it? Xena. Oh, my God. That was my new fur name. So I'm there with badges and art and stuff, because when you are at a FurCon, it's like other conventions. You have to wear a attendance badge that shows you've paid to be there. But then you also have, like, at a FurCon, most people have, like, custom art badges. So I have this, like badge that has my character's head on it, and she's super cute and adorable. It was done by another friend of mine who actually is trans male. He's super awesome. His name is Jay. I hope he does art again sometime soon, because he's awesome. but anyway, he did my badge, and it's super adorable, and it says Xena on it. So for context for this, Laser and I are both fursuiters, and fursuiters are people who wear furry costumes. Ooh, hence the name, fursuiters. Also, thing you'll have to edit out, sorry this is in the middle of the story. I don't know, but my computer keeps putting the monitor to sleep,
mm-hmm.
and I'm worried it might be
pausing the recording. Yeah, mine was so doing that previously. I stopped it. I went into my settings and stopped it, but for like episodes 1 and 2, it did that. Maybe that's where my stuff was getting out of sync.
That might be. That might have just happened to me.
It's fine.
And it's actually happened twice.
It's fine. Literally, all I have to do is take a snippet of dead air and then duplicate it until it fits. And it's not hard whenever we're speaking. Music, it sucks. But for us just talking, it's super easy to fill. So.
Okay, awesome. Good. All right. Well, yeah. I forget where I was in the story, so I'm just going to... I don't want to start over. I was at the fursuiters part. That's where I was. Okay. So, for context, Laser and I are both fursuiters. And fursuiters, if you couldn't tell by the name, are people who wear fursuits, which are costumes made of fake fur. I have one. Laser has one. Another reason I haven't gone to conventions a while is mine. The one that I had before, like when I was still in egg mode and didn't know I was trans, was super masculine. Like, it even has a goatee. And so wearing it now,
everybody has a beard, I swear.
Yeah, but like wearing it now, it actually causes dysphoria, because like you get gendered, like if you are wearing a suit that is that obviously male, you get gendered male because the character is male. And like, you know, that would be fine, but especially when I was, you know, just like in my eggy days, or like I just come out as being trans and was like, I don't want to get gendered male, it actually caused me to stop going to conventions, because the main thing I do at conventions is wear fursuits. Although it was funny, at this convention in particular, I was wearing my breast forms under my fursuit, so this was a male character who had boobs, which actually caused one person who gave me a hug at the convention to go like, oh my gosh, he was such a good, it was like good boy because it's a dog costume, and then they gave me a hug and was like, good girl, which was amazing. But anyway, so during FurCons, there's this thing called a fursuit parade, where everybody with costumes goes around the convention and shows off their costume. And this is where I ran into Laser. So at this point, I'm in costume, so male costume, can't see my face at all, it's a full body costume, and I run into Laser, who's also in costume. And Laser's like, oh my gosh, Xena, I haven't seen you in forever, and like, we should totally catch up later and just talk. And then, like, so we chit-chatted a little bit, and then the parade started, so we lost each other. So it's a few hours later, and again, Laser hasn't seen me out of fursuit this entire convention. So it's a few hours later, and at this convention, I was a super sponsor. And what that means is I paid way too much money to go. but I got free food for the whole convention. Hey, it was great.
Free food at a con so is good.
It's really good. So I went to the sponsor's hospitality suite to go, you know, pick up some of that said free food. And Laser is in there. Just sitting in a chair talking to some friends. So I grab my food and I'm getting ready to go back to my room, and I stop and I say, hey Laser, how's it going? And he looks at me and he's like, oh hey. And he has this look on his face where he's like, I don't know who the fuck this is. How do I know them? And like, legitimately, he stared at me for probably 30 seconds and he just looked at me like, I don't know you. Stranger. And then he looked down. Yeah, he looks down and he sees my badges, because I wear the same badges in, like, well, actually, I wear a few different badges, but the badge that has my character name, like my giant, like, art head from Jay, I wear that both in suit and out of suit. So part of the reason I do that is that way, you know, if you see me in suit, you can find me out of suit by just finding that badge. So he looks down and sees the badge and is like, oh my god, I did not recognize you at all. And he like freaked out, and we chatted for quite a bit. But it was like that was a case where I could have stayed stealth because he had no idea who I was. But I chose to be like apparently transgender because it's a very accepting community. Everyone is phenomenal. And it was also hilarious to see the look on his face when he had no idea who the fuck I was.
I am not going to lie. I'm a little bit excited to go to my 10-year reunion here in about, it's going to be 2 years. I'll be fully transitioned, and hair's going to be probably down to the mid of my back. I'm okay with that. It's going to be fun.
Hell yeah.
To say the least.
I am really tempted to go to mine. Like, I really want to go and just be like, surprise, motherfuckers. Who would have known?
Oh my gosh.
The answer is probably everyone, because I had really long hair in high school because I liked long hair for some reason.
Same.
It was funny. I remember when I was in, I think I was in college at this point, and I still had my long hair. I would go through, like, I'd grow my hair out for like 2 years and then get it cut short and then get it, grow it out for like 2 years. We were on vacation, and I think I was like a sophomore in college. And my dad literally said, like, we walked by a salon while we were on vacation. We were vacationing in Michigan. And my dad stopped and said, I will pay you $100 if you go get your hair cut.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, cool, I'll go get my hair cut. But my dad said, like, when he was like, you need to go get a haircut, you look like a girl. The inside of me was like, oh, my God, I look
yes.
like a girl.
Oh, my God.
And it took me 2 more years to figure this shit out.
I had all throughout high school and the first 2 years of college, I had fairly long hair. I wouldn't say that it's, like, you know, the length that people commonly mistook me for a girl. But it was long enough that my teachers and stuff were like, you need to get a haircut. You look like... it. The excuse they used often was, you look unprofessional. But they were... one of them finally just got over and was like, you look like a girl. And I was like, I didn't really have a good response to that, because inside my heart was kind of like super happy, but I didn't know why. And it was one of those things of, I think when I was a kid, like, a lot of it was, I wish I could just press a button, like we talked about last time. I wish I could just take a pill and be the, and be a girl. And so, like, there, a lot of what my denial came from was that idea of, well, I can't do this, so I'm just not going to think about it. I can't be a girl, so I'm not going to think about it kind of things. But moments like that would always bring them back up. And so I'm really stupidly shocked that I didn't come out earlier to myself and to everybody else. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, no, that's off topic. But, like, I was the same way. I look back on life and I'm like, look at all of these signs. Why the hell did it take you this long? But anyway, unrelated. So, the moral of that story is, if you're in a safe environment, going up to people who haven't seen you in a long time, being like, hey, how's it going, is a hilarious mm-hmm. thing to do. Like, I did that with one other person. I remember, there was a RPG I was playing, and I hadn't played with these people in person because they were the group that I played with in college. And then I played with them throughout. While I was off in Oklahoma, I played with them online. And so it's now like April and we were organizing our first like in-person session in literally over a year. And I'd been full time for a month at this point. And we get there and one of the players who's mildly autistic was just staring at me mouth agape for like the first 30 minutes. It was so much fun. Anyway, so that's enough of that story. Do you have any other stories you want to share? Because I have one more.
I've got a very minor one, and it's interesting. We were at one of the local restaurants in town. When I say we, I'm talking me and my wife. And it was our first official, like, date as Aaron and her. And so it was strange and good. We went to a place that we usually reserve for, like, those weekends where you're like, we literally don't have anything, so we're going to go there, we're going to gorge and just chill afterwards, digest for 2 days kind of thing. And it's like the only place in town that has like a good chimichanga, so you know I'm going there. But we get there and the girl who's hosting takes a look at her, takes a look at me, and then back to her, and it's like, okay, do you want a booth or a table? And she has this very clear smile on her face. So, like I was saying earlier, this is the girl that knew I was trans and knew what was going on. So, it was a little, maybe she knows at first, but we sat down and she did very much everything she could to try and make me feel validated. Which, like...
That's awesome.
Sometimes, I don't want that to happen. And that's usually in environments like, say, the mall, where there's not a guarantee of safety. But in this restaurant, we were one of, like, three tables in this area. And she worked really hard. So anytime she could put in miss, ma'am, ladies, girls, whatever she could. So is that going to be everything, girls? Okay, so you had this, and what did you want, ma'am? And so she, like, you can very easily tell when someone's going, oh, what did you want, ma'am? And then there's, like, the third gendered reference in a sentence kind of thing. And that's more along where she was.
Yeah,
it wasn't quite to an annoying level, but it was just very... I knew she knew, but it was kind of nice to hear that. And that was a really good night. It put us in a really good mood and was a very kind experience overall. They even gave me an extra drink because they were out of what I had ordered. And so they're like, I'm so sorry, sweetie, we're going to get you this, and it's going to be this. But I don't actually think they were out. it was just a really nice experience overall. And I've been back to that place multiple times, both presenting one way and presenting another. The only issue with that place is that I know people from work that eat there a ton too. But just recently, I had to come out to one of those people because of work issues. So, yeah, that's going to be a little less stressful. Yeah, let's not get started on my work issues today.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, actually, like, I do think we should slightly touch on, you know, dealing with, like, coming out at work. Because that's a big one. And we haven't
talked about that yet. Well, I'm not out yet.
My last story. Oh. Yeah. I was just going to share mine because mine's a pretty positive story. But actually, before I get to the whole like coming out at work story, the story I was going to share, I'm glad. One of the reasons I want to talk about the work story is because I don't want to end on this story because this story is bad.
Let's do that.
Yeah, okay. So this is one that I didn't even think that I would have to worry about. Because, like, it never crossed my mind before this happened. So I have been hit on in, since going full time. There have been cases where, for example, there was one where I was waiting in line to pick up prescriptions. And this guy who's, like, maybe 2 inches taller than me. For reference, I'm 6'2", so this guy's huge. He looks at me, and he's got, like, this smile on my face, like he's trying to pick me up. And he says, "Damn, girl, you're tall. What are you, 6'2"? And this, yeah, who, you're tall.
Okay,
and
he's
like,
"I'm taller." Who hits on people at a prescription pickup line? Can I just say, is that just me?
I don't know.
Like, no,
I don't
that's not...
I will say it made me feel very validated because I was like, yeah, I'm tall.
I'm sure
but
it
like,
did, but
I,
like...
I'm strutting my stuff.
Next to the toe cream.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, it's like the weirdest place, but it was hilarious. There was another one where I think the guy was just being nice. But this was, mm-hmm. I think, the second weekend I'd gone out presenting as myself. And I was wearing skinny jeans, which used to fit me really well. And then I lost like 60 pounds. So they don't fit me as well anymore.
And so they just became jeans.
Yeah, I still have them because I haven't bought new jeans because I'm waiting to buy jeans until after SRS is my, like, you've recovered from surgery. Go get some clothes and feel great. Yeah, exactly. But I was wearing the only shirt that I have, or I think it's one of two shirts that I have that I still like wearing, that I used to wear as a male, because it's this Avenged Sevenfold shirt. Then when I wear it over my breast forms, clings super tight to me. So, like, it's this super, like, form-fitting shirt. And it's Avenged Sevenfold, so it's like, yeah, I'm a punk girl. Get over it. It's, like, the most punky shirt I own. It's from their Hail to the King tour. So it's got this, like, giant skeleton king. It's on it. It's awesome. It's metal as fuck. So this guy, like, I'm in checkout line behind him at Target to just pick up, I think it was some makeup. And he looks at me and is like, "That's a nice shirt." And like, it was said in the way where he was like, "I need to compliment her shirt because I'm staring at her boobs." And I was like,
yeah.
"You're so nice." And I was like, "My makeup's terrible. I probably look like a trans person, but thank you for being nice." But this one was different. So I'm in a Kroger parking lot and I had just gotten there. So for reference, I was with my family. We had just, we'd like met up after I'd gotten off work. So we were in two separate cars. But we'd met up cause I needed stuff, at the store and they needed stuff. So we were like, you know, going to the store together and we'd just gotten done at the store at Walmart. And we were like, you know what sounds good? Sushi. You know, the only sushi place that's not 20 minute drive from here, Kroger has decent sushi. So let's go get some sushi. So we go over to Kroger. And I guess they'd gotten stuck behind me at, like, a red light because I got there first. And not only did I get there first, but they ended up parking on the opposite side of the parking lot for me. So I'm completely alone, just parked my car. And I get out of my car, and there's this guy, like, a black guy wearing, like, some really rough clothes and, like, athletic shorts that are way too low. And he sees me, and he looks at me, and he says, "Hey, babe. How about I take you back to my place and show you a good time?" And now, don't get me wrong, I was getting hit on and offered sex, and I love sex, and I love getting hit on. But I'm now completely alone in a deserted parking lot with a hotel near me being catcalled, and there's no one around. And in this moment, I'm like, oh, fuck. And on top of that, for perspective, the car that I drive is a Chevy Volt. And the way a Chevy Volt is a car that it's a plug-in hybrid car, so like it's an electric car and it has a bunch of fancy features. And one of the features that it has is the key, like it does like push to start, so you never have to take the keys out of your purse in this case, or pocket if you have pockets, which I don't anymore because apparently pockets are for guys, right? Anyway, so I get out of my car, and the way my car works is it has a remote entry, which means my car stays unlocked until I walk a certain distance from it, at which point it locks automatically. So if this guy, the first thing that pops into my head is, if this guy has a weapon on him, he can walk up to me, threaten me, force me in my car, and I can't even say my car is locked because it's not. It hasn't locked yet. So he can force me to get in my car and drive off with me, and I can't do anything about it because my car hasn't locked yet. So now, like, I'm alone, and this guy, if he wants to do something, has a quick escape method, which is my car. And that was the first moment where I've been scared that something would happen to me because I am a girl.
Yeah.
And it was 50-50 because I was like, oh my God, this is so validating. But at the same time, I was like, I'm terrified. I need to move. So I basically cut him a wide berth and said, no thanks. I have other plans, and booked it into the Kroger as fast as possible.
See, I have not been hit on, but that's my kind of default mode, regardless, is like, I'm not a person who feels that sense of validation. It's like, oh fuck, I need to get out of here. So yeah.
This was the first one where, and I think it's because the other places I'd been hit on, there were people around, like nothing could happen. But this was the first one where I was alone. And I think it was just generally concerning. And I actually went and I have a stun gun in my purse now because of that situation. So I guess the result there is, just because you think you might not be that pretty, don't come prepared. Like do come prepared for the worst. I wish I'd been carrying a stun gun. I would have felt a lot safer in that moment. I'm not saying like go out and buy weapons. And if you are going to buy something like a stun gun, make sure it's legal in your state, because it is not legal in every state.
I've been about getting things like pepper spray. I saw that I can get a handgun, but I can't get a security baton, a collapsible security baton. Those are banned in my state, I find utterly ridiculous. But yeah.
Anyway, point is, if you're going to be like it's worth keeping in mind, especially if you're a trans woman, because I never experienced anything like that as a male, and I was not prepared to handle it. And that was probably a naive thing, because stories like this happen a lot. But it's worth keeping in mind. So that is probably the single most scared I've ever been in a situation. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, there you go. So tell us about your work experience.
Let's talk a good story. Cause I got lucky.
I'm not out yet. Like I actually, in I think it's 2 weeks time from this recording, I'm going to be out to my first boss, and then 2 weeks after that, I'm going to be out to my other boss, and then I don't know where I'm going to go from there, because I don't know if the next time we start up, if I'll be presenting or not, because that entails a whole bunch of other people that are related to me, transphobic, and could, like, it's one of those family tear-apart situations because of how they have been in the past, and you go, well, maybe they'll be hopeful, but I'm like, yeah, there's... These are the people who hate on those who wear too much makeup or too much eye makeup, or call those who wear goth clothing mentally ill. So, like, we're talking those kind of people that I have to come out to as trans. So I'm very nervous about that whole situation. So please give me a little hope with your coming out of work story.
Okay, so I will start by saying my coming out at work story, I don't know if this is typical for most people. I got incredibly lucky with where I was working at the time that I came out. So the company I was working shut down our Indianapolis office. So the company was hot garbage, but the team that I was working with was awesome. I used to work in an insurance licensing department. And we were a super small team, which we later found out is because the company was downsizing. But I think there was, at the time, 4 or 5 people on our team, plus my boss. Now, there were other people in the office. This office had, I think, 5 different teams in it, most of which were larger than ours. But we were pretty tight-knit. Like, it was like everyone was super nice to each other. We talked a lot. The way the office was set up was we each had our own desk, which had, like, half-wall cubicles. So they were cubicles, but you could see... Like it only came up to, like, the equivalent of, like, neck or shoulder line. So you could easily see and talk to people, which was super necessary in our job because, like, it was a job that also involved not only doing like insurance licensing stuff, but also answering calls and questions from our customers. So we would, you know, get phone calls, and it was frequent that we'd have to like put them on hold and be like, hey, you dealt with this case. Can you, you know, give me some insight on what's going on? Can we transfer? That sort of stuff. So talking to your team members was like a requirement of the job and happened constantly. So we had this really good working relationship where like everyone was super nice. Sadly, the people I used to work with have kind of moved away now that the office is closed down, but we all left on really good terms, and our job was, the people running our job were terrible, but the people in it were super awesome. And so I started there in February. I think it was like right around the start of February is when I was hired. And I was hired as a temp. I was brought on for 3 months through May. My contract was later extended through the end of September, which was when the office was closed down. But at the time, I was only there through May with a potential for full hire. So I got brought on and to join the team because this team really needed help. They were way overworked. And I picked it up super quick because it was really easy stuff. I went to college for physics, which involved a lot of Excel spreadsheets. And this was basically like Excel spreadsheets.job. So knowing how to handle them meant this job was a breeze. So I picked it up really quick and I got along with my whole team. So I'd been there since the start of February-ish and it's now March. So for perspective, it's like, I've only been here a month. I'm still basically in my test phase as a temporary hire. And on top of that, as a temporary hire, they don't have to keep me around after my contract. I could just be let go in May with no hope. And because I'm a contract hire, I can be fired on the spot for no reason. So that was my thought process, as I'm like, I need to come out at work. Because for perspective, the weekend before I'd started presenting female, that was when the whole Chipotle story happened. And I was like, I can't go back. I love wearing girl clothes. I love wearing makeup. I love being authentic with the people in my life. I cannot go back to being like male. Like it was literally like, a day after I presented, I was like, I need to come out at work. I can't do this shit anymore. So I scheduled a meeting with my boss. And this is what I would say before like I go into the rest of the story. When you are coming out at work, it's important to find someone you trust who has power. In this case, it was my boss. My boss was great. She was super phenomenal. Legitimately one of the nicest, most caring people I've ever had. Probably third best boss I've ever had. She's right behind my dad, and because I worked for my dad, and my current boss, because my current boss is legitimately the nicest person in the world. He's so nice that he like won't fire people. Like he hates firing people because he sees the best in people. If people are made up of 100% of people, he sees the top 2% of them and trusts that 2% totally. Like super nice guy. So she's like third on my boss level because she's competing behind my dad in that and the nicest man in the world. I compare my current boss is basically Santa Claus if he was a boss. So she was super nice and I was like, I think I can trust her to respond well and, you know, like help me get through this and deal with the rest of the team and deal with HR and that stuff. In some cases, if you're working at a particularly large company, you may find going to HR better because HR departments will typically advise you on situations like this. So HR is a good way to do that as well. But I think it is key to find someone you trust and latch onto that person as kind of your guide, especially if that person outranks you because they can take you to the right people. And more importantly, if somebody responds poorly, they can go to bat for you. They can be like, hey, like this person's on my, like, for example, if it's your direct supervisor, it's like, this person is on my team and I trust their ability to work. So we need to make sure this person like is happy. Like having someone who has some sort of power is awesome. So that was why I went to my boss. And so I went to her, scheduled the meeting. We met in private and I was like, well, part of it was she was worried because I'd been doing a good enough job that my boss had outright told me, like, you are the best hire we've made in a long time. And I was like, oh, be still my beating heart. and so she was worried because she was worried that I was going to quit. And she was like, she had this look on her face, and I was like, "You look worried." And she was like, "I think you're going to quit." And I was like, no. Trust me, I'm not going to quit. If anything, I'm hoping for the opposite. And then I launched into, like, I'm transgender. And she was phenomenal. Like, instantaneously, she was like, "Oh, okay, all right, that's no big deal. We can do that."
You just like dumped it in there. I was like, "Oh no, I'm not gonna quit. I'm trans, actually."
I don't remember how I launched into it because I was super nervous. I think I did literally just like, no. I'm hoping to be here for a long. I remember I said, "I'm hoping to be here for a long time. I love working with this team. Everyone here has been super nice, and I adore this job." Like that's pretty much what I said. And then I said, "The reason I'm meeting today is because I'm transgender," and I was like, "I can't present male anymore."
God, I can't imagine that. For I'm a talker. I like to talk in circles and give, like, I'll give you the backstory over everything, I suppose, whenever it comes to that. And so the people I've been coming out to, it's like I always start with the reasoning, and then, like, in this month we started thing this, which led to this, which led to this, which led to this, which led to, and then finally, after all that build up, just saying I'm trans. But God, I can't imagine just having to, like, "Hey, trans, cool, yeah, bye." Like, I can't do that. That's not me.
The reason, because I've done that in the past with other people. I did that with my parents. I think with my parents, I was like, because when I was with my parents, at the time, my ex was supportive. So when I came out to my parents, my ex was with me. And we sat down. I was like, "I need to talk to you about something." And they just had this look of fear. And they were like, "Is she pregnant?" And I was like, no, that's not why we're here. And so I just immediately was like, "I'm transgender." And so I think, like, in most of the cases where I've told people I'm trans, they've been worried it was something else and I needed to, like, clear the air. So I was like, yeah, okay, let's clear the air. And I also think, like, I always say, like, here's my, I subscribe to the strategy in debate. I used to be on the debate team. So my strategy is very much make a strong statement, make your point, and then prove your point. Like, I'm very much, because that's what you do in debate, is like, here's my bold claim, here's why I believe my bold claim, and here's the evidence of why you should believe it and the other person's wrong. Like, that's how debate works. And so I kind of adopt that strategy in general when I'm arguing people. I will make a strong statement and then explain why that strong statement is accurate. And that's what I do when I came out pretty much every time. I was like, okay, I'm transgender. And I think in this case, especially, it was also like, this was my boss. We were both on the clock. My boss gets paid a lot of money. And I was like, I don't want to waste your time. You don't really need to know the reasons. You just need to know I am this thing. And then later when because what my boss did was, my boss, like, immediately responded just fine. She was like, "Oh, that's awesome. I'm so happy you're coming out." And, like, literally the best response ever. She was so nice about it. And then, like, literally the next day she had me meet with HR and, like, talk to that person. And then the HR that's person funny. Was a super, super responsive and super nice. And went off and was like,
I suppose you have a better relationship with your boss, because I went to HR first, and they were like, "Okay, so you need to go to this person, and then you need to go to this person, and then from there we got to figure things out."
Yeah, like, technically, okay, actually, cool. So in hindsight, now that I think about it, I skipped a step. I didn't actually go to my boss first. Well, technically,
I didn't either.
Technically, I went to my boss first, but it wasn't my boss that I directly work with, because remember in this story, which is how it actually happens. I don't know why I said in the story, but context, I was a temporary employee. So my actual boss was a contracting firm like downtown Indianapolis. So the first thing I did was I actually sent them an email and said, "Hey," and in the email I said, "I'm transgender and I need to come out to the people at work. What do we do about this?" And so then they set up a meeting with me for before I went to work that day. And, like, walk me through, like, what I should do. And they were like, "We're super supportive of you. We've heard nothing but good things about you as a temp worker. We're going to do our best to make sure that they respond well. And, you know, that you stay employed." Because also, like, their business is to keep me employed because they get money. Mm-hmm. So they were like, so basically I went and talked to them and they gave me some advice. And then I went and talked to my boss. But the first person that I talked to that was on my team that I actually worked with day-to-day basis was my boss. And part of the reason for that is, since I was a temporary employee, no one had told me who the HR person was. And because our team was actively being downsized, which we later found out is because they were closing the office down, we actually didn't have a local HR person. The HR person we had was up in Michigan. So my order was I talked to the boss. The boss set up a meeting with HR so they could talk to HR. And basically I talked to HR and they got on the process of like getting my name changed over in the company. So that like my payroll, I think it literally took like a week for them to change my name over, which
without like
was that, like there
that's
was
fascinating.
Yeah, there was no argument, and it wasn't even like my legal name hadn't been changed. They were just like, okay, yeah, your paychecks will still have to be under your old name because it's not your legal name yet, but otherwise we'll change everything else internally. And then literally the day after that, my boss called a team meeting and I came out to my team, and my team was amazing. Like the two people I worked with closest, like one of them, she was this super nice old lady, one of the nicest coworkers I've ever had, just came up and gave me a big hug and was like, I am so proud of you.
Were you presenting in that meeting as male?
No, I was still presenting male. And I basically, this meeting was I'm transgender and I will be female starting tomorrow. That was the meeting.
Cool.
And then one of my other coworkers, who is a sweet, sweet middle-aged lady, after we were done, she like came over and whispered to me, and she had tears in her eyes, and she was like, I am so honored that you would share that with us, and I'm proud of you, and I will support you no matter what. So like I got incredibly lucky. It was incredibly heartwarming. Everyone was amazing. No one in the office thought about it. Like there was no second guessing from anyone, either my team or the other people in the office. Like I showed up the next day female and everyone called me my new name, and it was like I'd always been female. Awesome. It was legitimately the best experience I could have asked for. I would sincerely hope that everyone has an experience like that, because I legitimately do think it made the rest of life like set up way easier. It boosted my confidence because everyone was so supportive. It made, you know, dealing with, you know, friends and family way easier. I mean, to be fair, my family was super supportive. My immediate family, it was extended family I was worried about. But sure, it just gave me this confidence that I could do this and kind of reinforce the idea that, like, this is what I should be doing because I'm now way happier. So that is my coming out at work story.
That's awesome. Yeah, I really hope mine goes at least half as well as that does. I genuinely don't know, because I am in such a southern red, deep, deep, deep red state. But yeah, so that's awesome. And we are running a bit
long.
Yeah,
this is, I think, the longest episode we've ever recorded. But that's the end of my story. The strategy for that story is talk to someone who has power that you trust in your company or wherever you work. And that will go far, I think. So
awesome.
I think that's everything I wanted to say about dealing with society. This is a topic we'll probably come back to because both of us will get more experience as time goes on. So this is another one that I think we'll probably actually so far, like I think every topic we've talked about on this show, we'll come back to because they'll change.
Yeah.
Evolving. Oh, go ahead. It's always evolving.
Process.
Transistor radio evolves into, I don't know what, but I don't know what a vault form is yet.
Dunsparce.
Anyway.
It's Dunsparce.
Please no.
All right. So tell us, this is something, we're moving on to a really silly thing, and this is something that Athena knows a ton about, and I have literally zero knowledge of. Why don't you tell us about this loading ready run?
Yeah, okay, so our really silly thing this week is Loading Ready Run. They are an awesome, awesome group that does a ton of different things. They're a comedy group. They do a bunch of charity streams. They are most active on Twitch. They do almost all of their streaming on Twitch, but they also archive all of their live streams to Loading Ready Live is their YouTube channel. They are phenomenal. Their videos are great. They're hilarious. They have a varied cast. And they do a lot of stuff. They do everything from video games and board games and card games to, I think they do some comedy stuff. They do like some podcasts. They do a bunch of things, and all of it is live streamed. They have content that they live stream literally every single day on Twitch. I mostly watch the YouTube archives because I tend to like stuff that I can, you know, pause and come back to later. But in particular, there is a particular thing I want to call out to listeners of this show. Their entire channel is great, but if you're a Magic the Gathering player like I am, I think you'll get a super huge kick out of, they do a lot of Magic the Gathering streams, and pretty much all of their Magic the Gathering streams are great. The people there who play Magic are like the epitome of what I wish my Magic play group was like. But there's one in particular that I want to recommend. If you've never watched anything that Loading Ready Run does, and you're a Magic player, or even if you're not a Magic player and want to learn about Magic, they do these streams called Dominaria. They do these things called pre-releases. They just did one for the newest Magic the Gathering set for Dominaria. What they do in pre-releases is basically there's a thing that happens in Magic the Gathering, which is a week before the set comes out. So before any of the cards are legal in play, before you can even buy packs or product or whatever at your store, they do these things called pre-releases, where you sign up and you get to play with the new cards early. Well, Loading Ready Run has a sponsorship from Wizards of the Coast, the people who make Magic the Gathering, and they partner with them to do a pre-release, which, if you couldn't gather from the way these are named, the pre-release is a week before the pre-release, where they get to play with the cards early and show off what's going to happen, and they explain the new mechanics and rules of the sets. Super awesome, super fun to watch. But part of the reason I want to call out the Dominaria one in particular is one of their guests for the pre-release, or the pre-pre-release, was April King. April King is a super awesome lady, one of my favorite ladies in the Magic the Gathering community. She is a transgender Magic the Gathering judge. So she is super sweet, super fun to watch. She's hilarious. So if you want to watch some great Magic the Gathering get played, go check out the Dominaria pre-release. It is an 8-hour live stream that is archived on YouTube. So 8 wonderful hours of content with funny people that I think you'll get a kick out of. So I can't recommend it enough. Their entire channel is great. If you love video games, check out some of their video games. But if you're like me and are obsessed with Magic the Gathering, you can't go wrong with any of their MTG content, especially the pre-releases. That's it. That's the really silly thing. You got anything to say, Aaron?
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's an hour and 13-minute show so far. Oh, oh God, what if you cut stuff? They'll know how long our recording was. It is now. Anyway.
Insert time here. Hours long.
Oh, yeah, that was such a great time when we recorded for this many minutes.
Oh my God. Get our outro in here.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So that's it. That's our really silly thing and our topic for the day. So this has been Transistor Radio, a Story Thus Far Network podcast. If you have topics you'd like us to talk about, please send us an email at staff@storythusfar.com with TSR or Transistor Radio in the subject line. You can also send us a tweet at our Twitter page, which is @StoryThusFar, or you can contact us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/StoryThusFar. And if you're like me and can't remember anything for more than 30 seconds, you can just head to www.StoryThusFar.com. If you're like me, you might want to write that one down and find everything I just mentioned and even more great content. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transistor Radio. We'll catch up with you next time, but for now, that's the end of transition.
Bye.
Okay, so I bumped my mic there. Did you hear that?